It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome to the Sports Objective Podcast, our Pirate preview as the Pirates are taking on the Tribe of William & Mary out of Williamsburg. And with us right now is Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, Dave? How are you?
Do you have any eligibility left? I think we're going to need you this week, my friend.
Well, man, yeah, I don't think you want me playing running back. I could probably block for us, get us a couple yards.
Every little bit helps. We'll take it. Bubba Rosenbaum, I know you don't have any more eligibility, unfortunately. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I wouldn't be much help at running back. I can still sling it around a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you who is ready for us, and I don't think he has eligibility, but, man, if he did, we'll pretend like he did. Alan Powell, we know him better as Pirate Al. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Glad to be one with you on tonight. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely want to have you on. I know your time is limited, so we're going to have you in the round table before another level. We've got a great guest, too, tonight.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have Jay Colley. He's the longtime play-by-play voice of the William & Mary Tribe on the show and took an in-depth look at Mike London's club.
All right, we'll be talking to him in a little while. In the meantime, we have our round table. We want to have our guest co-host, Pirate Al. And by the way, Pirate Al, I was thinking about you the other day. My kids are actually, you won't believe this, you'll be happy to know I'm raising them right. They're into old school hip hop. And I thought about you driving down Highway 11 from going through Bethel a few weeks back. And I was like, man, I wish Pirate Al could see these kids' faces hearing all these great old hip hop songs.
Oh, yeah, man, I still love it. I still love the old school hip hop. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've learned so much on the podcast. I would have never guessed in a million years you love old hip hop. It's really cool.
John Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
And Ron John Gilbert.
Mason, DJ Easy Rock, Houdini. Oh, my gosh. I can go on and on and on.
I know.
Curtis Blow. I mean,
they
have a whole show on nothing but that.
Yeah, we need to do that sometime when you have more time. One of them was basketball, by the way, from Curtis Blow.
One of their
favorites right now. I'm trying to raise them right.
I'm sorry, Dave. I was just going to say, Al, that video that you put, I think it was on the Pirates Cove last night of the pirate dancing. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, I've done
it a couple
times. I've done it once or twice. And I said, man, these guys are gonna think I'm gay if I keep doing this. But I think we got a commitment a couple times. I put on there, on Twitter or whatever. I put that little fancy pirate on there, when somebody committed to us.
by the way, Pirate Al, I just want to let you know for the Pirates Cove, and guys, we need to tell folks again that haven't listened to, maybe they skipped a podcast or two. I just want to let you know, Pirate Al, you're a VIP. We'll never charge you to be on the Facebook group there.
Oh, wonderful. I appreciate that, man. That means a lot.
Thank you. There's certain people that will, but I promise we won't. Hopefully everybody will come over to the Pirates Cove. And, guys, let's talk about that before we get into a deep discussion on Pirate football. Can everybody – who wants to take it, Bubba or Kyle, about the Pirates Cove?
Yeah, come talk Pirate football and basketball and all East Carolina athletics with us. Just go to Facebook. Go to your little search bar on Facebook. Type in Pirates Cove, and Pirates Cove presented by the Sports Objective, a place for Pirate Nation to come discuss the ECU athletics, absolutely free of charge. Never a fee here, not now, not later. We're looking forward to growing the group, and we're over 500 members in about 24 hours, so hope to keep growing it. And, everybody, come one, come all, and invite your friends.
Yeah, if you want to talk about how great the Pirate volleyball team is doing, or any of the great Olympic sports, or baseball, basketball, football. We have 19 sports. Anything's good to go. And again, absolutely free, no charge, ever, never. We're not going to do it. And just want to let everybody know that. So, Pirate Al, we want to bring you on because we obviously like having you on. And first of all, I just want to say that I know I got to get your thoughts. By the way, I thought about you when I heard that Mike Houston was going to have an actual call-in radio show. I couldn't believe it. My blood pressure, I just dropped. I was like, oh my, I was in such shock. Are you happy with having the call-in radio show again?
Well, I'm ecstatic. I was, that's one thing that John Gilbert wanted to do is kind of get the fans back involved. And I think that, one of the number one things he could do was to have an actual live call-in show for the coaches. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. I hope he'll do the same thing, with the Dooley show. I'm sure he will, where fans can actually call in. But the reason why I haven't called in the first couple of weeks is I've actually gone over to Logan's for the show live. So it's kind of, you really can't call in when you're sitting at the table, you know, 20 feet from the coach. You know, it's kind of weird. But anyway, but yeah, I'm ecstatic that they went ahead and had the, you know, had the traditional call-in show like they used to. Good move.
Yeah, I was happy. I was happy to see it. The one thing I'll say, I wish they would change it to 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock, I get off work at 5. It's hard for me to remember the damn thing comes on at 6 o'clock. I wish they'd push it back to 7.
Yeah, I'd rather be at 7 also. I know you got to kind of work around the coach's schedule, but yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, 7 would have been better. But yeah, I mean, I actually did the same thing, Kyle. The first week, I missed half of it because I thought, you know, 6 o'clock comes early.
Yeah. Now, Al, your time's limited, man, so we need to get into breaking down this game. What do you feel, just in general? What are your thoughts on this game? I think people need to take William & Mary very seriously. I've watched them play twice this year, and they're not a bad football team at all.
I don't – right now, in our situation we're in 2019, I don't think man for man, and I know the kids are playing hard, I don't think we're talented enough to take anybody for granted. I mean, I think it's going to be – actually, I think we're going to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk by any means. These guys are pretty solid team, and we're not talented enough right now to blow them off the field. So, I mean, I'm looking for like a, you know, maybe a 8-to-10-point game. I think it's going to be competitive all the way through the end.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Bob.
Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying I agree with that for sure, and I know Kyle does as well. I'm saying we've certainly talked a lot about it this week and even right after the Navy game on how this is obviously a huge game going into Old Dominion and giving this a chance for a winning month.
What I want to see is the line of scrimmage, guys. I mean, we pretty much got handed to us in the state game and the Navy game. I just want to see our offensive line, defensive line, you know, play more physical and play better. We just, you know, also we haven't done in the last 4 or 5 years is start winning the turnover game. You know, we got to call some turnovers and win the turnover margin. That would help us a lot. You know, sometimes you're not quite as talented as the other team, that you've got to win the turnover battle.
Yeah. And one thing I'd really like to see, you know, I think Coach Houston obviously wants to establish toughness and a culture of toughness and being able to run the football. But I just don't think we got the horses to do it right now. And he doesn't need to give up on it entirely because it's going to pay dividends next. It's going to pay dividends next year. You know, so he needs to keep with it. But he's got to open up the offense a little more if we're going to be successful now. We got to have a more downfield passing game. And he's got to run – I think he's got to run Holton a little bit more. I think if we do those two things, you know, we've got to take some shots downfield, and Holton's got to pull it down and run it more to open up this offense. And obviously, what you're talking about at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, we need to play better. But just flat out, we just don't have the horses to do it. I think against William & Mary, you would think we would match up fairly well in the lines. You would hope. But, I mean, I don't think that's going to get fixed until, you know, just more time in the offseason developing talent and recruiting.
Guys, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what's killing us right now, and I said it when I called in, I wasn't a real happy camper after the Navy game, but these coaches know how to coach. I mean, the whole staff came from James Madison, except for Lynch, and these guys are winners. They've been there, done that. But what's killing us is, our recruiting classes from 2015, 16, and 17 were not good. And we just don't have the horses, guys, and it's caught up to us. You know, we will. No doubt about it, we will. I think the 18 class is pretty solid. The 19 class looks like it's going to be really good. But, you know, you're playing, I mean, your junior, your Richard sophomore, junior, senior classes are really thin. And it's just we need more time to develop kids, get them in the weight room, get them bigger, stronger, faster, and we're just playing what we got right now, but we're just real thin.
Oh, I agree with you 100%, and I think the previous staff did a piss-poor job developing the players they did bring in, let alone they weren't strong recruiting classes Montgomery's first couple of years. When they got here, they didn't do a good job developing them.
you know, a lot of those kids have transferred or got kicked out of school or various reasons. They're not even on the roster anymore. I mean, we've got very few kids that are, you know, even still on the roster from back then. But anyway, it's going to get better. It's just not, Houston just can't, you know, sprinkle fairy dust on the team and, you know, and it's not going to change overnight. But you're going to see us gradually get improve. And in about 2 to 3 years from now, we're going to be a solid football team again. No doubt in my mind.
No, I agree with you 100%. This game to me is very important because I think you can lose some people if you drop another one to an FCS program like Montgomery did to A&T and to JMU. I think this game to me is as important as any game on the schedule this year because this is an FCS team we can lose to. But a lot of people just don't realize, you know, that William & Mary is a quality team. They see it as William & Mary, and they think we should win by 50. You're going to have people that are going to be pissed because it's probably going to be a close game. So let alone losing it. We need to continue to try to rebuild Pirate Nation and get the fan base back. So we can't be losing anybody right now. So we desperately need to find a way to win this game.
Al, the point you made a couple minutes ago regarding the turnover battle, that's something that William & Mary has done very well to this point. I know they're plus seven, and they forced 10 and then have only committed 3, and they have 6 picks and 4 fumbles. So that's something to really keep an eye on. I know I've watched quite a bit of film, like Kyle said, of William & Mary over the last couple of days. All 3 games, and the thing that really jumps out to me watching that film is how hard these guys play, and that sounds simple, but just watching them fly around, their energy and enthusiasm and the way they swarm to the football, I think they call their defense the Green Swarm maybe, but they've generated 8 sacks, also 23 TFLs, a lot of tip balls, deflections, those sorts of things, which has helped result in those 6 interceptions. So we're really going to have to take care of the football, and it will be interesting to see how our offense, considering how poorly they've performed outside of Gardner-Webb, that we had outmanned against a defense of William & Mary.
Yeah, no doubt, Bubba. Their defense is aggressive and, like you said, forces a lot of turnovers. So we're going to have to take care of the ball, but we can't play scared. We're going to have to try to make plays.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And something else, just watching the film, they're going to be much more competitive in the trenches than Gardner-Webb was. Not that Gardner-Webb, they had some guys such as the Ramsour kid, who's a brother of Aaron. I think his name was Josh, but so Josh Ramsour is not a bad football player whatsoever. But just from top to bottom, on the 2-deep, William & Mary is going to be much more competitive in their front, and it'll be interesting to see how this offensive line of ours performs on Saturday.
We need to get off to a quick start, guys. We do not need to, you know, the longer if they jump on us, they're going to be sky high. They're going to be full of confidence. We have got to go ahead and jump on these guys early in the game and play with a lead. That's going to be real critical also.
That's a great point, Al, because that's something last weekend against Colgate when they jumped all over the Raiders. William & Mary, that is, was up 17-0 after the first quarter. Colgate made it a ball game 17-10, and then William & Mary responds with a 93-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to help separate things and take control of that ball game.
Yeah,
we're in for a dogfight, that's for sure. I mean, we need to come to play.
And if you watch the game against UVA, if you turned it off at halftime, William & Mary UVA with the ACC Network, William & Mary played really hard in the second half, and the scoreboard didn't show it, but they were fairly competitive with Virginia for the last 2 quarters of the game. It was just already over at halftime. But they looked athletic to me, and like I said, like you know, Al just said, it's going to be a 4-quarter dogfight, and Bubba, you want to maybe get the perspective from somebody who knows a little bit more about the Tribe than we do?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and go to our interview with Jay Colley. He is the longtime play-by-play voice of the William & Mary Tribe, and let's go to that right now.
Bubba, big game this weekend. Very happy to have an old rival from the Southern Conference back in the day with the Pirates, right?
Absolutely. The Pirates and the Tribe will be meeting on Saturday at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. This is the 18th meeting in the series, but like you said, just the third time since 1983. And now to get the William & Mary perspective, very excited to be joined by the longtime play-by-play voice, Jay Colley. Jay, welcome into the show.
Hey, man, nice to talk to you again. I remember our discussion this summer vividly. I mean, it was about 110 degrees in Williamsburg. I was not thinking football, but you people down there in Greenville, I eat, drink, and sleep at, 365 days a year. So now I'm ready to talk some football.
All right, sounds good. We can talk any sports, Jay. We, Bubba and I are sports nerds, but we're in football season now, and very happy to have the Tribe back. And I know that for people that don't know, we had Virginia Tech on the schedule, and they pulled out of the series. And so I'm very happy to have William & Mary back on the schedule for the old-timers from, I know, the 70s and 80s. It was a big rivalry, and here we go again. It's great to have you guys back on the schedule.
Yeah, you know, I always thought East Carolina William & Mary was a really nice fit in terms of getting a rivalry together. Had we been in the same did compete in the same league in basketball for years in the old CAA. And if, all the stars had aligned and William & Mary was like a Wake Forest or a Duke of the ACC and obviously East Carolina being a big, powerful state school, I thought the rivalry would have been a fun one to continue. But they did not ask me, but I'm looking forward to coming down to Greenville on Saturday.
Jay, with your longevity, you've been around the William & Mary program since the early 80s. I know you were the color analyst for Bob Rathbun before you became the play-by-play man in 1983. So talk a little bit about your path to becoming the voice of the Tribe.
Yeah, thanks. It's going to bore your listeners to death, but I started out in minor league baseball in the late 70s, early 80s with the Nashville the Sounds at that time, and then I got a job in Charlotte and stayed there for a couple of years to do a minor league baseball game for the old Charlotte O's, and then got the AAA job in Rochester. My first year in Rochester, we played was not only the voice of the Tides, but he was also the voice of William & Mary football and basketball, which I thought, what a great gig that would be, do football, basketball, and baseball year-round. And so we talked a little while, and he said, "We know my color commentator is not going to be here this fall, and I'm not going to do basketball anymore at William & Mary because he was moving on to clearly bigger and better things." So to make a long story short, he really helped me get this first job here. I did do color on football my first year and then play-by-play on basketball. The next year, Bob got out of play-by-play completely, which is what I always had my eye on anyway, and then became the voice of both sports and have been ensconced ever since. But I give Bob Rathbun a lot of credit, and he's certainly a nice man and had a wonderful career.
Jay, here at East Carolina, we obviously have had tremendous longevity with our play-by-play voice as well, Jeff Charles. I know you guys go back a long ways to the CAA days that you referenced. So talk a little bit about your relationship with Jeff and just back to those old Colonial Athletic Association days.
Yeah, Jeff and I do go back a ways. I remember Jeff as being I consider myself very energetic, by the way. I think, matter of fact, last time we talked, you had said something about me being energetic for my age. I think that's what you said. Anyway, no, but seriously, I caught up with Jeff earlier this week, as a matter of fact, and, reminisced about old times back in the day. I told him I was looking forward to having barbecue in the stadium this week, and he did remember that I'm not one of those broadcasters that do not eat the pregame meal because I'm so nervous. My nerves are taken out the other side of the ledger, and nonetheless, he's done a great job. I know Jeff to be the consummate professional and a fair and fair broadcaster, but clearly, Jeff Charles, you know what the color he bleeds, and rightly so. And I'm looking forward to coming down there on Saturday and seeing him again. We haven't really shaking hands. We were talking to talk about that since the last time we played football, which I think was 2001. So it's been a while. I've not changed. We'll see if Jeff has.
Well, I was going to tell you one thing that has changed, Jay, is the press box. Former athletic director Terry Holland affectionately called it the double wide in the sky. And I can't wait for the next time we have you on to talk about your impressions. It's a beautiful facility, the Town Bank Tower. I can tell you, as a fellow broadcaster, you're going to absolutely love it. It's very spectacular. You know, it's somewhat of a price tag of $65 million, but I think it hurts in the short term, but in long term, it's just going to really pay off. It's definitely great for the radio, TV, newspaper. All the media folks are going to really love it.
Well, East Carolina, you know, I certainly don't pretend to know the history of East Carolina football, but clearly at some point in time, whether it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago, decided, you know, they were going to play big-time football, and obviously a nice press box for the press and the followers and you know, for the president and the entourage that comes with the big givers need that kind of atmosphere, and East Carolina is right up there with any team in the country in terms of facilities, and we are, you know, we're going to come down there, the little guys from Williamsburg, and try to upset the big boys. It's been a while since the Tribe has had an FBS victory, very frankly. I think maybe 2009 was the last time. So it'll be a challenge for this group of Tribe players on Saturday.
You know,
Jay,
that's
I'm sorry, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to make a quick point that, you know, with the East Carolina, the last 2 years we've lost to an FCS opponent, and I know Coach Houston would say with you guys, with William and Mary, definitely a great program, and also you have a great coach. I can promise you that this team is not looking over and looking past William and Mary.
Well, they should be. They should be looking over, napping, missing practices, maybe missing a few classes, you know, and getting on Coach Houston's bad side. I realize that. I mean, I know Coach Houston has a rebuilding project. We all know Coach Houston has. But when he got that job, and I think I said this all this summer, guys, there's no one that East Carolina could have gotten that had been a better fit, in my opinion, for that particular program. He brings not only that enthusiasm and knowledge of the game, but a great, I've used the term fair a couple of times, but fair discipline to your program that I think in 2 or 3 years you'll really be proud to say you're a Pirate fan in terms of wins and losses. I'm sure you're proud of that already, but I'm sure that record will turn around.
So, Jay, we've talked about your longevity. Obviously, Mike London's first year at the helm of this program, and Jimmy Laycock, and so many excellent seasons down through the years. So talk about Mike London and what he's bringing to the table with this staff. And obviously, the Tribe are 2-1 right now. The setback against UVA, a game in which they were down 7-0 and driving seemingly on the verge of tying it, and then all of a sudden you have an 87-yard pick six that really changed the tune of that game. But tell us about Mike London's team.
Well, I'll say this. I was asked earlier this week about a comparison between Jimmy and Mike, and I've sworn off that as the broadcaster. A, I don't think that's fair to me, and B, I don't think that's fair, most importantly, to two men that I greatly admire. I was with Coach for, you know, 37 of those 39 years, for goodness sakes. I think they have something in common, though. I will say that. And I think they both dearly love and want the best for their student athlete. I mean, the graduation rate at William & Mary is second to none. I think both men are dedicated to getting men in this program that will hold their head high academically and yet also have the pressure of being very successful on the field of play. And Coach talks a lot about faith, football, and family. And I take him at his word. He's been a wonderful, successful coach in nearly every place he's been. You know the background of Coach Lennon clearly. But the thing that's got William & Mary fans excited, very frankly, is this offensive side of the football. We have not seen an offense like this in many, many years. And it's called the go-go offense for a reason, and they try to run a play every 9 to 11 seconds. So when that thing gets rolling, it's a thing of beauty. And it did get rolling against Colgate on Saturday, putting up 31 points. I think the Tribe got a
kickoff return, so that wasn't necessarily an offensive score, but a lot of points being put up in with William Mary so far this year.
You know, one of the things, Jay, that comes to mind is pretty much every place that Mike Lund has been an academic school. I was just thinking about there's no way in the world I could have ever gotten into William & Mary or Richmond or UVA for sure, but every interview I've heard him do, I've really followed his career. I really like him. He seems to be a down-to-earth, genuine guy, but he also seems to be a very intelligent guy. Can you talk about that and about the players? You can't just get any guy to come off the street to be at William & Mary, right?
No, you can, and I've always been, you know, after my first 10 years of broadcasting these games, I've always been hesitant to you know, brag is not the right term, but to point that out, because hey, every university has positive points and negative points, and every university does things a little bit different. It's up to each individual university to run their, not only their athletic program, but the doggone university, how they want to do it. William & Mary wants to be a public Ivy school. That's their one of the catchphrases that William & Mary uses, and so that would portend getting a good quality academic people into the school, and then, you know, making sure that they have the wherewithal to graduate and move on and be successful in whatever they want to do. So, no, you're right. It's not a school for the guy that wants to do anything more, very frankly, than get a college degree. Even though there has been quite a bit of success in postseason, in the NFL for a lot of our guys over the years, you don't necessarily pick out William & Mary in order to prove yourself to the NFL scouts.
Leading this go-go offense, I know the last two or three seasons, and so the quarterback position has been one of concern. Now you have a freshman and number 12, Hollis Mathis, dual threat. He's someone that he carries the ball a lot with design runs or scrambles, and also has a very strong arm. So tell us about Hollis.
Well, that RPO offense is perfect for him, and you'll see a lot of classic, triple option type plays or look anyway. We certainly don't call it that, but it's very frankly, he's got control. Brennan Marion, who's the offensive coordinator, refers to his quarterbacks as point guards, not necessarily quarterbacks, and he wants them to have that basketball mentality, whereas they can, you know, shoot so if he's left open, or get the ball to the open guy if he's not open. So it's not necessarily a run Hollis Mathis offense first, but you'll see Hollis Mathis, you know, make that decision quite often. Hollis is a young man out of Penn Hills, just outside of Pittsburgh. I understand it's been a wonderful high school that has put out a lot of outstanding football players over the years, tough kids, and I see a lot of that with Hollis. And Hollis, by the way, is about 6'2", which is a good thing. He's about 170, which is a bad thing. I wish I could give him about 30 pounds immediately for all kind of reasons, but with that as a backdrop, when he puts on some weight, if he continues to have the speed that he does, he's going to be a real threat at William & Mary for years to come.
I was going to tell you, Jay, I've got 50 pounds if he wants them too. But
well, 80 pounds might be too much for the kid. That'd be 250. He may go to a pulling guard.
Jay, I also wanted to ask you about the running backs. I know you guys use some very interesting alignments, and I know a couple of tremendous backs in sophomore Owen Wright, and then also senior Albert Funderburk Jr., a kid who actually know very well is, when he was a sophomore at Sun Valley High School here in the greater Charlotte area, I had the opportunity to coach Albert.
And you coached him. That's a great story. So I want to know who you'll be rooting for on Saturday. We'll talk about that.
No pressure, Bubba.
Put me on the spot.
Albert is a great, first of all, great young man, wonderful smile, always, you know, look you in the eye and talk to you. If you're his dad, I'm talking like a dad now, not a broadcaster, but that kind of kid. But he's had some pretty traumatic injuries in his career at William & Mary, and tough ones to get over. And I'm talking about knee type deals. This year he looks really, really good. Now, the other factor is, so does Owen Wright, who is, I believe, the grandson of Brig Owens, a lot of your listeners will remember him of Washington Redskins days. But He's got football in his blood. He runs hard. He's a straight ahead runner, but Funderburk is kind of a straight ahead. He'll run over you, and he can run around you. So the Tribe does have a dual threat, and most every play will have two backs in the backfield. Not necessarily in the I formation. I've not seen that. I've seen a lot of formations this year, by the way, that I can't describe. We have a play that two tight ends are facing the sideline right next to the quarterback. So, you know, I don't hope I'm not giving anything away to Coach Houston here, but he probably has seen it. But anyway, so I'm coming up with these, you know, strange terminology type plays to give the listeners something to kind of to visualize as if they're, it's not ordinary football lineups. I'll just say that.
That's interesting. That seems to be like the trend these days, doesn't it, Jay, to have, I guess after a while, everybody's seen, as far as coaching is concerned, they've seen different formations. So you have to have some wrinkles, if you will.
Yeah.
And they're
right. Yeah, I agree. I mean, and this hurry up offense, which, you know, we call it the go-go, running every 9 to 11 seconds, does not give the defense a chance to you know, bring in another package on a particular play call. So, or a particular down and distance. So it's as the Tribe gets more and more used to this go-go offense, it's going to be very interesting to see once William Mary gets into to league play, which, by the way, is the week after the ECU game Saturday.
I was going to ask you that very question about league play. How do you think William & Mary will do in the CAA? We described it before to folks. This week is kind of like the SEC of FCS.
Yeah, that's a good line. Actually, that's a perfect analogy. The so the prognosticators picked the Tribe 11th, and I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, you know, a playoff team or top five team. I think we will surprise some people, judging by what the Tribe has looked out of the first out of the box here, the first three games. But then again, you know, most of the time, those, you know, sports writers and whomever vote, you know, look at rosters for the other teams in the league. And by George, we have, I think, five or six teams in the top 25, most of whom the Tribe will play this year. And of course, you got, in my opinion, undoubtedly the best team in the country, James Madison, in our league. And we, somebody had the nerve to schedule JMU for our homecoming. So, you know, go figure. But, anyway, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Anyway, with that as a backdrop, I think we'll be competitive. In this league, it will typically have one surprise because, you know, this level of football is so unpredictable, not like, you know, FBS football, but where you can almost pick the top 10, you know, 10 years from now. This league will have one surprise a year, and I'm hoping it's the Tribe.
And, Jay, taking a look at the Tribe's first three games, that's what I was able to watch a decent amount in the last couple of days. And I'll tell you, one of the things that really jumps out at me on film, is how hard Mike London's team plays and such effort and such enthusiasm. And that's one of the things that Mike Houston's club's going to have to match on Saturday.
No question. I mean, even our fan base has commented. I go to a quarterback club meeting every Monday night. It's a consortium of 150 fans that, you know, can ask Coach London anything they want to ask him about the play. And it's been asked a couple of weeks in a row now, not asked necessarily, but commented on the play, the enthusiasm, not only on the field, but off the field with the guys that are not playing. And it's contagious. And I think that's what Coach London you know, wants, and brings to the table.
Also wanted to ask you about special teams. I know you have a tremendous return man, like you referenced earlier, the 93-yard kickoff return, and I think you've also blocked at least a couple of field goals. So tell us what the Tribe present in the way of special teams.
Well, I'll remember two names, Bill Murray, who's our best defensive lineman, an NFL prospect, and remember Bronson Yoder, who leads the country, I think, in kickoff return yards in FCS play. So those two guys, and then also Zach Burdick, if I can throw in another name. Zach is leading the country in yards per catch this year. So
Three guys are off to a great start. It is very, very early, and I'm sure, quite sure, Coach Houston and his staff know those three names. So they'll be trying to hold them down. But to Bill Murray, I don't have the stats in front of me, guys, but an incredible. I want to say 6 or 7 block kicks in his career. I mean, wow. Either field goals or extra points. He is a force to be reckoned with, not only in you know, block kicks, but also, you know, rushing the quarterback and bowling over the center. This year he's playing nose tackle a little bit, you know, straight up, as opposed to maybe a defensive tackle the last couple of years in this 3-4. The tribe has changed to a 3-4 defense. So remember Bill Murray, but don't forget about Will Kiley as well, another outstanding defensive lineman up front.
Jay, I know that Tom, you've been generous with your time, and I know that you've got somewhere you have to be. We appreciate it so much, and look forward. Hopefully we'll see you in the press box on Saturday afternoon, and definitely look forward to a great game Saturday night under the lights at 6 o'clock.
Look for me after barbecue.
All right, care. We will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Jay, and we really appreciate your time and your insight on Weave and Mary. You certainly seen your share of tried football down through the years, and we're going to really enjoy hopefully catching up with you in the press box on Saturday at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. And so I think, Kyle, now let's take a little bit more of a look at that William & Mary offense that they call the go-go. So I know you had the opportunity to see that game against UVA live. So
yeah.
Tell me what you saw about the, quote, go-go offense.
Well, wake me up before you go-go. They certainly run tempo. It's a tempo-based offense. Their quarterback's athletic. He's very mobile, dual threat. He'll pull it down and run it. He's got the ability to throw deep. They got some quality running backs. They run the ball out of it. It's a spread, but they run the ball a lot. They do some interesting things. At least they did against UVA with formations at times, some stuff to try to divert your attention. But it's definitely a tempo-based I don't want to call it a gimmick offense, but it kind of is. But, you know, they do run it a lot. Like I said, you know, I don't know what their run-to-pass ratio is, but it seemed to me against UVA, they were trying to establish the run.
Yeah, you're certainly right. I do not know the breakdown in terms of the percentages, but Hollis Mathis, the dual-threat quarterback that you alluded to, he is a freshman. And as we discussed with Jay in that interview, you know, he's a tremendous talent. I believe he's from Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. I think he said right outside of Pittsburgh, maybe it was. But anyway, very strong arm. One thing that did jump off the page to me as far as when I was watching the film, Hollis Mathis did seem to get pretty loose with the football. In the film I saw, he did not fumble any. And I'm not sure how many times, if any, he's put it on the ground through three games. But there was a time or two where he had 30, 35-yard runs and was very loose running through the heart of the defense with the football. And it wasn't like he was just out in the open field. So if he continues to carry it, that loosely on Saturday, hopefully we can get some strips.
Yeah, no doubt. That's something that I watched Coach Houston and Coach Trotz picked up on film and are going to be coaching the guys to strip the ball. Now, please, guys, wrap up and tackle before you strip. Get the tackle, then try to strip it. That's something to keep an eye on. You know, we could force some damn turnovers. That seems, you know, I know we got a couple picks against Carter Webb, but, man, we seem to just, the last several years, just have a huge problem forcing turnovers. I mean, and another thing this Saturday, Bubba, special teams have played really well up until this past weekend, and I'd like to see good special teams play this Saturday. That's an area we can beat William & Mary in for sure.
Yeah, that's what – when we talked a little
bit about – I guess they did have a kickoff return this week for a touchdown, did they not?
Yeah, they have a freshman, Bronson Yoder, who returned it 93 yards against Colgate, and he's averaging a little over 40 now in the season. And his other four were for an average of 27. So, yes, that average is – significantly inflated because of the 93-yarder, of course, but you do have four returns for an average of 27, so he had been solid prior to that. And then they had blocked two field goals. I believe both of those were against Lafayette. And I know at least one of them.
I
if not,
say we can beat them as special teams. I don't know. Sounds like we're pretty far special teams.
Outside of the kick return, those two block kicks, from what I saw, it seemed like they were pretty low in trajectory on those kicks.
Okay.
But like Jay Colley mentioned in that interview, they do have a guy that is notorious for blocking kicks, so that is something to keep an eye on. And so even though those may have been kick low, I'm sure some of the ones that he had blocked were not necessarily low kicks. Something else to keep in mind, an interesting perspective to things. So they opened against Lafayette College, and one of the coaches for Lafayette, the quarterback coach, is Court Schenkweiler, of course, former Pirate player and son of Steve Schenkweiler. So I'm sure, hopefully, Court was able to give his dad some insight to things. Something else that really jumped out on film, I don't know if you had seen this, Kyle, is I know in the three games, and I just saw bits and pieces of these games, they ran a reverse pass at least four times, if not more, in the first three ball games. So we have to make sure we're identifying personnel. They'll put, when Hollis Mathis, number 12, is at quarterback, they'll have number 5, Kilton Anderson, who's also a quarterback. They'll line him up.
You know, when people do that kind of crap a lot, what I like to do is simplify things and play base defense. That way the guys can read and react. Do you agree with that theory? Or?
Yeah, I would say you definitely that's one way to look at it for sure, and try not to get too complicated, so you're not thinking more than you need to. But also something else that I noticed outside of the Colgate and Lafayette games, when they played UVA's quickness and athleticism and strength in the trenches, which unfortunately we don't have, at least not as much as UVA, because Bronco Mendenhall now, this is year four there in Charlottesville, and he's done a tremendous job of building that program up through recruiting. But that's what I know with what I saw there. If we can generate some pressure and get to Hollis Mathis and make him move around a little bit, like Coach Houston said, we're still going to have to tackle well, because UVA chased him all over the yard, and they still struggled to get him on the ground at times. But kind of like longtime Pirate fans will recall Kenny Kelly back in 1999, and what Dave likes to refer to as the Floyd Bowl at NC State for Miami. Kenny Kelly was like that, and chasing them all over.
We have the same result. I'll take it.
Absolutely. William and Mary, they're averaging a little less than 200 yards per game on the ground. However, they have, even though they don't throw it that much, they have allowed 10 sacks. And Hollis Mathis.
How many of those came against UVA, though?
Yeah, and like I was saying, I don't know for sure, but my guess would be that probably at least 6 or 7, if not more, came against UVA, but I may be mistaken. And then also Zach Burdick, he is their leading receiver. 6 receptions, get this, Kyle, 206 yards. 6 receptions for 206 yards, so averaging about 35 yards a catch, and give or take a little bit. And so like Coach Houston said in his weekly press conference, the play action pass is something our secondary they're going to have to be very cautious of, and not get caught peeking in the backfield. They're going to have to not do what they did last week against Navy and give up big plays on play action. But in addition to that, something else I noticed about the receivers was they do a tremendous job of making plays on the football. They really compete for the football when it's in the air. So that's going to be very important for our guys, some of which are very young on the back end, to be competitive with the ball in the air.
This game concerns me, Bubba. And then as you're talking more and more about their offense, I just sit and get more and more concerned. Take your blood pressure medicine before you go to the game, folks. I'm telling you right now, for anybody who thinks we're going to blow William and Mary out, I hope you're right, whoever thinks that, Jonathan Ellerbe, and some others. He's just of note, not picking on Ellerbe. Just heard him say, we're going to – what was that score he predicted, Bubba?
I think it was 49-17. It was either 49
right.
Or 45-17.
I hope he's right, but I got a feeling he ain't gonna be.
If we win 49-17, I'll be very pumped up.
Yeah, me too. Bring on the Monarchs. Take your blood pressure medicine before you go, folks. Drink you a couple beers. It's gonna be four quarters, and we need everybody there. We need everybody loud. We need everybody to realize it's gonna be a close game, and to be there cheering, not sitting there getting pissed off when things, things aren't going our way. As long as we end the fourth quarter, things have gone our way. Hell, even if it's in overtime, as long as things go our way, just take it and move on.
Something else I wanted to point out about special teams that we did not discuss in that interview with Jay Colley is the fact that Chris Hooper, who's the kickoff specialist for William & Mary, only four of his 18 kickoffs have been for touchbacks. So, last week we saw Colby Gore instead of Tyler Snead returning kickoffs. So whether it's Gore or Snead, expect those guys. Hopefully we're not receiving many kickoffs, but the few that we do receive, hopefully, they'll have opportunity to make some plays, and maybe we'll take a kickoff to the house. I guess the last time we took a kickoff to the house, Kyle, what was it against App State in 2012 Lance Ray took it back.
That's the last one I remember. That is hard to believe that was the last one.
And I can see that play now. I just remember because that was a 1-point ball game at the time, and we were feeling the heat, and then Lance Ray
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, Lance Ray kind of high stepped out of some tackles on the way to the end zone,
and suddenly we're up by eight and kind of put it away after that. Yep,
and that was of course a game that Rio Johnson started, and then there are a couple games. Rio Johnson started that ball game, and then also the following week down at South Carolina before in game three, Shane Carden, after the strong second half performance down in Columbia, he became the starter, and the rest is history.
Exactly, against USM. I was going to ask you, Bubba, you're talking about William & Mary playing Colgate. Are you surprised Crest or Listerine doesn't have a team?
I am.
Yeah. I've often wondered why Colgate was the only toothpaste brand, oral health brand with a university. I've often wondered why Listerine or Crest or AIM or any of those brands didn't, have a college.
But, Kyle, before we wrap this thing up, do we want to
scope? Maybe scope? I don't.
Yeah. Do we want to?
Probably you're not putting up with my nonsense.
Do we want to give our prediction for the game and then, go ahead and promote some of our upcoming content and wrap it up?
I want to keep making jokes about toothpaste and mouthwash. We'll give our prediction. I'm going to go East Carolina 28, William & Mary 24. East Carolina 28, William & Mary 24. It is a four-quarter war, and we win by four.
I'm thinking something very similar, something along those lines, but I certainly will not go with the exact same thing, just to shake it up a little bit. But I do think it'll be a four quarter game, and it's hard to see us scoring like some people are projecting up in the mid to upper 40s. I definitely don't see that. Hope I'm wrong. But I will go with the Pirates 31, Pirates 31, and William & Mary 23.
All right. That's a 8-point win. You can breathe a little easy at the end. I take that.
Let's hope we're wrong, and let's hope we win a little more comfortably and don't have to sweat it out.
Yeah, and Dave and Al have both had to leave the podcast, so they can't give their predictions. So you can go check out the message board. Go check out Pirates Cove and see what Dave and Pirate Al thinking. Hey, Friday we will have guess the score, predict the score, however you want to call it. Will be over on the Sports Objective Facebook page. And everybody can go participate and predict the score and win a prize. You know, the winner will win a prize. Check, look for that Friday.
Yeah, the Gardner Webb game, we had 75 or 80 people participate in that. Hopefully we'll have even more this time. And I definitely think we can. And we gave away a nice Pirate Tervis tumbler. And this past week, we gave away congratulations to Alice Williams. She won a nice ECU Garden flag with the skull and bones, the helmet logo. So,
yeah,
so who knows
what our college pick 'em, but we're going back to guess the score at least for this week.
Right, and the prize will be something similar along those lines, but it'll be obviously an East Carolina related Pirate prize. But also on upcoming podcasts, so we'll have our Pirate football playback on Sunday morning, so we'll catch up with Zion Kumalai, who was a nose guard on the Peach Bowl team in 1991. So we'll talk to him. He will certainly be tuned in to the game up there in Michigan, where he's a high school football coach. And so it'll be an awful lot of fun to catch up with Zion, just like we did last season, and talk a little Pirate football.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Zion's a great Pirate, and remember talking to him well, and he does a good job coaching high school ball up in Michigan, and needs to send some of those talented linemen that are produced from the Midwest down this way.
And also on the upcoming show, we'll catch up with CeCe Buford. She is the new women's golf coach, replacing Kevin Williams, who moved on to the University of South Carolina. So we'll catch up with Coach Buford and get her thoughts on her team's second-place finish up at the University of Minnesota last weekend, second out of at least 15, maybe 16 teams. So,
and you mentioned having CeCe Buford on. Is there any truth to the rumors that we're working on getting CeCe DeVille through the podcast?
Yeah, and Dr. CeCe, Clarence Carter.
Yeah, Clarence Carter also, yeah, Dr. CeCe, that's right. He'd be sure.
But those are some of the upcoming shows we have headed your way. Remember to follow us on our social media, on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also check out our new Facebook group, The Pirates Cove, where the Pirate Nation talks ECU athletics on Facebook. Again, we've only been there for, I guess, 36 to 48 hours now, and we already have well over 500 members.
Yeah,
we're
really only about 24 hours of trying to push it. So it's right. Growing fast. I hope we can keep that pace up. That'll be great for the podcast, for Pirate fans to have a place to go where they can talk football, and all Pirate fans are welcome. We do maybe hope to keep the people that ask such questions as who do we play on Saturday and who's the quarterback, maybe keep some of those people away. But besides that, all Pirate fans are welcome.
Yeah, definitely check it out, whether it's talking about what's going on currently as far as football, women's soccer, I mean, upcoming basketball news, men's or women's, I mean, you name it. We certainly welcome all conversation about any East Carolina athletics, and then we also have interesting topics for conversation that are certainly very subjective, but things like who's your favorite Pirate player of all time, what are some of your favorite Pirate games of all time. I know actually Kyle, one of your buddies, James, who's a diehard Southern Miss fan, actually posed that question earlier today as far as who's your favorite Pirate player of all time.
Yeah, that was a good question by James. James is always a good person to have on message boards and such like that. He loves talking college football, not just USM, but he can talk. You'd be surprised, man. That dude can talk any university. He's very knowledgeable about college football across the board.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, well, Kyle, if you don't have anything else, we'll go ahead and wrap this show up. What do you think?
Sounds good to me, Bubba. Let's put it to bed.
All right. Let's get out of here. For Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I am Bubba Rosenbaum. Until we talk to you on Saturday on 94.3 The Game pregame show, the Choose Pews pregame show, or the No Quarter postgame show, and then, of course, the Pirate Football playback on Sunday. I'm Bubba Rosenbaum for Dave Richmond also and Alan Powell. This is the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.